Okay, folks, back. I looked at the chat, saved it. Heck, I got the thing working tonight. And I went over to Occidental Descent, and it looks like I got unmoderated. What Hunter does, and by the way, I've known Hunter Walls here. I like old Hunter. I liked Hunter when he was big and fat, you know, 3 years ago. I like Hunter even better now. And, well, he acts like he's getting a little bit soft on the Jews. And he was giving a hard time to Greg Johnson, who was getting soft on the faggots here. Folks, in this movement, this wonderful Mount Moon of ours, there's two things you can't get soft on here. You know what I mean? there could be three things, but nobody gets soft on niggers. You know what I mean? There's two things you can't get soft on. Number one is the Jews. Number two is the faggots. You can't go ahead and ever get soft on them. You know what I mean? I mean, even if you don't want to go ahead and shoot Jews and niggas, you know, faggots. Even if you don't want to go ahead and just pokerize them, you know, you better not go ahead and say as much here. I remember when old Edgar Steele wrote this article in defense of homosexuality, and old Covington was on his ass. This was around 2004. Old Edgar, you know, got all mad at Covington. And so then here Wiggers will sniffing around here, something like that. Wiggers will go ahead and repeat half the exchange. We'll repeat the rest of the exchange, but we'll repeat the rest of it here. So, any case, there are a lot of, poor old Don Black. Well, hey, you go ahead and see some little weird-ass little wigger, long hair, and, I wear my hair long now. I wear half a beard. But the whole point of it here is to freak out the zoggling wiggers and pig lice and the rest here. Tell them and say, shoot, yeah, I know why I got, right now, I shave it off on the right-hand side, which means that the wheat is being treated badly here, and the tares are growing out. But when it comes time to take care of you tares, once I've gone ahead and essentially had you and your entire pig or lawyer or judge family tortured, and there's no more of you left, you've been sent screaming to hell, I'll go ahead and pluck out one of the long hairs and, take a lighter to it and light it up. You know what I mean? Just sniff the old burning hairs. You know what I mean? It said that Yahweh loved the smell of, burnt sheep or bulls or something like that. Well, I think I'll like the smell of burnt beard hair here, which means that essentially some of you zoglings have been sent screaming to hell. How's that here? It's the principle of the thing. But getting on it, I was just sort of thinking. I was sort of looking here. I like Denise. She's a classy lady about my age. And she was feeling sorry. Oh, why do you got mean to Don Black and Chloe? And the answer is that they're crooks. They're liars. I mean, shoot. You're married, you used to be married to David Duke. He went ahead and dumped you. Now you're married to Don Black. And you're working a job of training niglets. What the hell? It's sort of like my brother's widow. I mean, if my brother had, not been killed in a car accident, what's been what? 20 years ago. July 18th, 1993. And his kids have turned out worthless. They've gotten half of my mother's life estate, or so they think here. And the crooked lawyer who is getting in there, why, hell, he's making out like a bandit. And they want to, because essentially it's just found stolen money. They don't give a crap for my family. Anyway, I was talking to my sister. Essentially, heck, she also adopted. She, in addition to adopting the niglet, that's pretty well was the last straw. Adopting the niglet in 2003. I begged her. I said, please, please, Monty's wife, please, take it back. Take it back. I mean, it's not going to end well. And I must admit that I was sort of pleased when I found out that the niglet had grown to be a 14 or 15 year old niglet. And the niglet went ahead and beat the crap out of the stupid bitch. Now, it'd been a little bit more wonderful if that's what I tell people. I said, shoot, if you got to adopt a beast of the field, you do better adopting, say, a lamb or a calf. And then if you adopt a beast of the field, the four-legged kind here, and essentially they don't learn tricks here. They can't go ahead and make it in kindergarten. Much less the high school. You adopt a calf here, it grows up to be a big old cow or a bull or something like that. Well, heck, if it don't work out right, you can always knock it over the head and eat it. Whereas, if you adopt a two-legged beast of the field, like a niglet, the niglet might very well, well, just like my stupid sister-in-law, he can beat the shit out of you. And then this government takes him back. You could get your ass killed by the niglet here. Not smart to adopt niglets. But idiots do that stupid shit here. Idiots do that stupid shit. So I have to go ahead and laugh here. But anyway, I found out is that she married, she went ahead and adopted her half-brother's daughter. And from what I gather, this daughter, you know, I seen her when she was nine or ten here. She gave me an evil eye. Evil eye. And from what I gather, my sister married my sister-in-law's brother. And essentially, here is this half-sister, niece, or whatever that she adopted. She's beating the crap out of the adoptee, a.k.a. my sister-in-law. And essentially, her brother tells her not to do that shit. So what does she do? She goes ahead and tells shit about how supposedly my former brother-in-law, well, he's my brother-in-law now because he married my sister, you know, but essentially the brother of my sister-in-law went ahead and supposedly molested her. And it was such a load of shit here. Well, anyway, it's coming out here is that her mother was a stripper. And from what I gather, they're probably about, what, three or four generations child molesters here. Sort of like my old stepdaughter's second husband's bunch here. You know, old Looper Baldwin molested my granddaughter Helen. And, hey, they wouldn't try him for it. Old Looper, he just can't go to prison. He ain't well, mentally well. Well, what happens is that Looper's father supposedly was a child molester. Molested Looper. I mean, hell, you just end up having, what, three, four generations of, you know, built-in Whigger and Anglo-Mestizo child molesters here. My roommate up at Gilman, you know, he molested a six-year-old girl. And from what I gather, you know, heck, that is what that family did. They just went ahead and raised children to be molested by perverts, and then they'd blackmail the perverts. That's what they do here. And you have that going on for, what, three, four generations? And you expect, does anybody expect when you have a bunch, you shit run by Jews here for what, 100 years now? Does anybody really expect that, you know, this society is going to make it? Huh? Okay, well, let's see. Yeah, they have a picture of my house at Rabbit Track Road here from, what, December or January of, what, 2011 or 2012 when it snowed a bunch here. You know, folks, I, you know, pretty well got rid of Roxy's Plymouth here. And now I got me a Geo Metro. And I got a 1978 Ford pickup truck. And I mowed, there's no snow on the ground. I mowed the stuff here. Folks, as I look at here, if you are well off in your hovel, enjoy your hovel. Okay? Anyway, where was I here? There's just one picture. Okay. Well, let's see here. Alrighty here. And she has sloppy seconds, too. Okay. Martin seems jealous. Oh, Martin ain't jealous. I'm not jealous of Don Black or anything like that. I feel sort of sorry for Don Black. Although he's, is Hunter going to come in? I think he's traveling here. He went to St. Louis for something or another here. You know what I mean? Martin paid $25. No, Martin paid $25 for his church, and now he pays $10 a year. Okay? Gave a. Okay, I see a tard here. Okay, hold on, I see a tard. Was he traveling? Yeah, he's that would be here. It's Curly, Missouri. All right, here. It's the Hotel California. Go out alive. Oh, Mom Snuff came out alive. Of course, he puked quite a bit here. We had to pound this Jew boy in. All right, where was I? I'm going to go ahead and read, it's the, Papa Cat, if you want, could you go ahead? Let me see if I can't get up the tonight's agenda. Tonight's agenda. Okay. Tonight's agenda here. Why'd that guy puke in your house? Mumpsnuts, I think, did because he was scared that I was going to detect his ass and kill his ass. Sort of like Trader Glenn Miller did. Okay. Let's see here. All right. Now, last week, or this Thursday, I said the biggest news in the bowel movement is about Derek Black, Wiglet spawn of Don Milton Munster Black, operator sperm fart, going out to college and telling the Jew boy Mark Patak of the Southern Poverty Law Center that went all Whigroid, metrosexual and shit, and no longer support Whigger nationalism. Derek would rather play video games and go ass to mouth with niggers and Jews rather than work for ensuring the future of zoggling Whigger ass clowns and a future for younger Whiglets. Now, the entire bowel movement is yapped about the news. The spermfartians are whining and sticking with their supplier of Whigger nationalism, lest they should get banned here. I don't know. Yeah, I haven't really looked over on Sperm Fart to see how much they dare talk about, Derek Black here being a total piece of shit here. I think Don Black is more worried, if anything, as to whether or not people will feel that they have been screwed. Now, you look at the amount of sustaining members, lifetime members who supposedly paid $1,000, and sustaining members, which is the lowest swing of $5 a month, which is $60 a year, like Liar Bill did for a little while. And by the way, here, he told me that Clint Downey had gone and banned a member who'd already given them $8,000, and Don Black liked to have had a fit, so they changed. They went here and took old Clayliff, a.k.a. Clint Downey's moderatorship or administratorship away from her. And for 2 months, they essentially shut down the Christian identity section in Stormfront, where they locked it tight. And then I guess Clint went ahead and bitched and pleaded and moaned. And folks, David Duke, Don Black do not like Christian Day. That's why they appoint critters like Clint Downey and their little meerkat to pretend to be Christian Identity, even though they're no devil nitwits. They're not really Christian Day. They're not even one seedliners. They're no seedliners because they don't believe that Satan, they don't believe there's a devil. They're Gerda Kotchians. They're pretend Christian Identity. And so they give to Meerkat Mark and Lysia, oh, I like Meerkat Mark's lady wife, Clint Downey. Well, Lysia, I bet you wish your pussy had as much mileage as Clint Downey's had. I mean, a big fat sow like old Lysia, she may have been a National Alliance, but I don't think she got too many takers here. I bet old Kevin Alfred Strom here never crawled atop old Lysia. Heck, I bet even if she went ahead and wore a Prussian blue mask here, I bet old Kevin Alfred Strom never even crawled atop Lysia, even with a Kevin Alfred Strom Max, not a Kevin Alfred Strom, but a Prussian blue, And you had April Gady. She came in. You had Ward Kendall over on Occidental Descent as Maxfield Parrish, and I knew the character was somebody who'd been in the movement. Now, Ward, believes that somehow we're all going to get together in a nice little parliament and we're going to play nice here, and you know, we're going to be able to kick out people who don't belong in white nationalism. And folks, you're not going to see me in any such thing, because usually the first thing that's going to happen, let's kick out that asshole Martin Lindstedt. How dare he say something about me? You end up having what? Old Carolyn Yenta. She doesn't believe in free speech. She'd go ahead and set up a pussitariat and have Wiggerswill, Trader Glenn Miller, and Meerkat Hatting run things right into the ground. Okay? Anyway, they were talking about this here. But I remember last December when they were talking about Derek Black going ahead and saying he didn't, going to his college, he didn't, I ain't white nationalist anymore. This is back in December. And you had this guy here, he talked about Tiny Tom, and, and I said it was like in Stooge or a sperm fart Carol. Wherein Tiny Tom sees the ghost of sperm fartions present. And old Tiny Tom, he goes to a carnival, and he sees a Hungarian gypsy or a Romanian gypsy, and she demands that he kiss her, and therefore she'll let him see stuff in the ball here. So anyway, I'll go ahead and read from that. Have you seen enough? Madame Mahai almost purred. No, Tiny Tom stuttered. They can't all be bad. I must see more. Show me Don Black. As you wish, Madame Mihai replied. At that, the crystal ball smoked, and Tiny Tom found himself in a lavishly decorated lounge room. The floor was covered by a rich and deep cream carpet. The curtains covering floor-to-ceiling windows were bright gold. Behind a massive oak table was a tall but tremendously decrepit man. He was dressed in a red silk robe. His face was gaunt, cheeks sunken, eyes bloodshot and watery. His wrists were so slim they looked more like fingers. What was left of his thin gray hair was dull and lifeless. Tiny Tom realized this living mummy was none other than the mighty Don Black. Derek! Get your ass down here now, boy, Don bellowed in a surprisingly strong voice. Oh, but Daddy, I am winning on Crash Bandicoot, came a nasally response from somewhere upstairs. Now, boy, thundered Don, who didn't seem like he had any interest in taking no for an answer. A few seconds later, Derek made his way downstairs. He was dressed in a one-piece pair of baby blue pajamas that even had cute little booties. On top of his long red mane, he wore his trademark cowboy hat they had worn ever since he first saw Brokeback Mountain. Do you realize the time, Derek? It is past 10. You know your bedtime is 9:30. Just because your mother is holidaying in Monaco doesn't mean you can stay up till all hours, Don chided. But Daddy, I was doing so well on my games. It is just a little past my bedtime. It isn't like I snuck out or anything, pleaded Derek. I could not care less. Rules are rules. I make them, you and everybody else follows them. Plus, we have a radio show to do in the morning. Even Al Kels is getting sick of your tirediness. Al Kels, Derek scoffed. He worships the ground we work on. He won't say boo, and you know it. That is not the point, wise guy. You seriously have to make more of an effort, admonished John. But Daddy, you know I hate doing the radio show. All that boring old pro-white shit, what a fucking waste of time. I could be out skateboarding or partying with Manuel, Paco, and Jesus, moaned Derek. My son the moron, snapped an irate Don. You need a reality check. That show costs us $350 a month. For that $350, we charge the plebs on storefront $2,500. That means we make a little over $500 a week for that show. You're my son and are as interested in getting a job as I am. Unless you want to hand your empty resume into McDonald's, you're going to have to pull your soft little finger out of your ass. Now get upstairs, brush your teeth, and go to bed. And no more of this coming into the show late business. You will be down here bright and early. No later than 8:30. 1 minute late and I'm seizing your Xbox for a whole week. A look of pure terror crossed Derek's face. His Xbox was his prized possession, second only to an autographed poster of Elton John that he had picked up 3 years ago in London during one of the many holidays the Black family took. "All right, Daddy, I'll go to bed and be up for the show. I'll try my hardest," Derek practically wept. Derek turned around, shoulder slouched, then made his way up the stairs, sucking his thumb the whole way. Don leaned back into a supremely comfortable couch. Should be comfortable, Don thought. It cost $8,000, and smiled merrily as he flicked through the cable in search of a basketball game. "He's a fine boy," Don commented to himself as he found a ball game just in time to watch Malik Jenkins score a mighty slam dunk. Tiny Tom blinked and found himself back in the tent. "Damn it, I knew it was fishy, but I didn't know it was that bad." Madame Mahai smirked as she said, "Shall we visit someone else?" Now, folks, this is a parody. This is a parody. But it's, well, I think it's reality. I think that's exactly what is going on. I mean, Don Black is just going through the motion. Why does Blake crash bandicoot? I bet he does here. Folks, you can go ahead and read the entire thing. I went and put a link to it. Okay. Did Hunter Walls call in yet? I don't think so, no. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and Sheba number two. Went and... let's see. Can't you let her be? Well, hey. I mean, I think Carolyn Yent is an evil old skank. She's a lying old skank. I remember, what, December of 2011? She was interviewing Finkelschini over on the Wigger Network. No, Voice of Retards. I said, "Excuse me, this is Pastor Martin Lindstedt. Do you know that your guest, William Fink, was in a federal prison for 12 and a half years for murdering a prisoner in a New Jersey jail where he worked at?"
"Mr. Lindstedt, you don't do yourself any favor. But calling in, I'm going to have to cut you off." Click.
And the lying bitch went back and even cut the call in out. Now, I have a question. If a lying bitch who knows damn well about the past history of her guest cannot tell the history of what happened less than 20 years ago, why the hell should we believe, one way or the other, about what allegedly happened 70 years ago? Why? She'll lie. She'll go ahead and cover up. And if you're a so-called historical revisionist here and you are accused of being a liar, of being a cover-up for anybody, then hey, you don't have any credibility. I don't see why Carolyn Yenta has any credibility. She knows damn well. She's been told about Traitor Glenn Miller. She's been told about Wigger's Will. She's had a few people come in and tell her about that. She knows damn well about it. She knew all about William Fink. Now, I am glad that William Fink, apropos of nothing, I was listening to Fink's, confronting the chills And here's Fink getting all hot and bothered. He's going ahead and screaming about how, yes, he was in federal prison, in prison for murdering a man. I mean, heck, I think Fink's little brain, his little kike brain, is beginning to go. And I think that's a good thing. But yeah, I don't have much use. I don't have much use. Her work is solid. Her work is not solid. Her work is worthless. If you're a liar, if you're a liar who essentially is acting like a Zogbot supporting traitor Glenn Miller, your work isn't solid. I have a question. You know, I mean, heck, Tom Metzger, you don't like to talk about the Holocaust because essentially it comes down to listening to what Jews say. What Jews say happened. And then caterwauling, cavorting about, well, how many Jews actually died under Hitler? Does anybody really care? Not enough. I believe what? Probably about 250,000 of damn kikes died in concentration camps. So, not nearly enough. Here's Eichmann, you know, here's Eichmann, who they claim was part of the final solution. No! Hitler wanted to send the Zionist Jews to Palestine. He wanted to send them there. As he looked at it, them damn Jews, you know, he wanted the Jews out of Germany. He wanted them out of Europe. You know, there was a book. There was a book about what? Oh, back in 1996, going the rounds. It was a little self-made book. I think it was by a part Jew boy himself here, called Adolf Hitler, founder of Israel. It said that Adolf Hitler was responsible for founding Israel. He wanted to send the Zionist Jews. He loved Zionism because it meant the Jews would leave Germany and head to Palestine, where they would cause the British trouble. And they sure did after the war. I actually read a paperback that I bought at a rummage sale or a garage sale or something like that. For a quarter, called The Revolt by, well, this Jew called Menachem Begin. And he had originally written in 1953, the paperback, but they, you know, when he became the Prime Minister of Israel in 1978, he rewrote it. And folks, there was no talk about the Holocaust. Essentially, Menachem Begin admitted he was a Soviet Jew who got thrown into prison in 1938 by Joseph Stalin after he signed a non-aggression pact with Adolf Hitler, and he was released early in 1942 or 43, and guess what? He was sent to Palestine to give the ally of the Soviet Union and Great Britain a hard time. And Menachem Begin was part of the bombing the King David Hotel. You know, hotel. He was sent by Joseph Stalin, not to Germany. He was sent to Palestine to cause trouble for the British. Menachem Begin didn't say more than 5 words about the Nazis. That's why, Eichmann had to be killed, because essentially he was the main one who was collaborating in, you know, these Zionist Jews, and he had to be killed. He had to be put in a glass box so he couldn't say anything. He was made into an exterminationist when he was anything but here. Now, Hitler's other plan was for the non-Zionist Jews, as he had conquered France, and hey, they controlled an island off the coast of Africa, a large island called Madagascar. He was going to send the Zionist Jews, who he liked better, to, you know, Palestine. He was going to send the non-Zionist Jews to Madagascar. And there was, it was well understood. And in the movement, there used to be, this made-to-order, print-to-order book called Adolf Hitler, Founder of Palestine, or Founder of Israel, that you can buy for $12.95. I don't know if you still can buy. I don't know if it's still out of print now or what. All this crap about the Holocaust here. It's just some evil skanks running around, and she's fighting with Mark Weber. She's fighting with a bunch of stuff. She's just a skank who thinks she gets to tell white men what to do, and you don't. And occasionally, you've had people like J.B. Campbell, pretty well put her in her place. You've had a number of people try to put her in her place here. But what it boils down to, she thinks she gets to tell white people what to do. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and... okay, here. Well, if you think she does good work here, that's fine here. All right? Anyway. Oh, yeah. Let's see here. You've had her. She runs around with Guido, who might be part Jew, who has a Jew wife, and two little Jew devils spawn, and pretty well her little white network. Sometimes it's interesting. The reason I found it interesting is that here was some Southern guy calling in. Essentially, what do you need Carolyn Yenta for if you're going to be shooting niggers when the chaos occurs? You don't need Carolyn Yenta. You don't need Wiggerswell Wheelos. You don't need any of these, you don't need any of these characters, okay? The Scott Roberts. I don't know about this Scott Roberts. There was a Dean Scott Roberts who was a sort of Mamzer who was a Catholic Mamzer in Topeka. Is he from Topeka? Okay. Well, what she tries to do is that she's a liar, is what she is. I greatly doubt. I mean, she doesn't like what I have to say about her. I don't have anything good to say about her. Do you have anything good to say about Don Black? Folks, when you hire someone, just like, like Clint Downey, like your meerkat, you set her up, you set these people up to go ahead and ban any discussion. Go look, it's sort of like VNNF here, go look in the archives. Go look in the archives. Yeah, I have nothing good to say about her. Go look in the archives. A Stormfront? Go look in the archives of VNNF and see how many of the founding people have been banned or blocked or whatever for whatever reason. Stormfront isn't about debate. It's not about free expression. And folks, how can they claim that they represent anybody in white nationalism when you hire someone like Meerkat Mark Downey and Clint Downey to essentially censor anybody who's dual seed line, who is actual Christian identity? How can you go ahead and say that you represent them? You don't. There's nobody in the movement who really allows totally free speech. Well, I witness why I'm going ahead muting old Joe Blowman. He's a Kurdish Jew who lives in Sweden, and he was behaving himself sometime here, but he always goes ahead and acts up sooner or later. He's obsessed with me, and maybe he's still in there here. Maybe when I get done on my current rant, I'll go ahead and mute the worthless bastard. But you don't have free speech, unlimited free speech anywhere. The question is, what do you allow? And what kind of people do you allow? Now, me, I don't claim to be a unifier. I advocate, essentially, this United States being broken up into 10,000 petty warlord sees. And most of them, what they're going to do is they're going to go ahead and kill. They're going to go ahead and kill the police. They're going to go ahead and kill the prosecutors, which they deserve. I mean, folks, when they went ahead in 1978, 76, and said the judges cannot be sued, no matter what evil they do to somebody. And in 1978, in Imbler versus Pac-Man, the prosecutor cannot be sued. And then you have, say, a bitch like this here who goes after this Beaner Jew for shooting a nigger, for assaulting him. And here they are talking about doing away with Stand Your Ground. It didn't have a damn thing to do with Stand Your Ground. Harold Covington is right. Zog does not want white men shooting niggers trying to kill or rape or murder or whatever to them. Because if you will kill a nigger, it's just a matter of time before you'll kill a pig or a lawyer or a judge. Now, if there's not going to be any law, why in the world should the lives of policemen or lawyers or judges be sacred? In fact, I believe they should be the first skinned out. I believe their family should be, put to death. Because that's what they did. My family destroyed it. What if I don't want to forget? No, folks. Of all the movement personalities, I offer you the most freedom. I tell you, do whatever the hell you want to do to your enemies. Don't pretend to be big enough to get over it. Get over what? If you really believe the Jews are spawn of Satan, why not go ahead and do whatever the hell you want to them? If you believe that there is a Uyghur problem, hey, any Uyghur sides with Zog needs to die. I've had parables. I talked to Jim Giles. I said, hey, look, Jim, give acreage enough for 10 cattle. Okay? 10 cattle. Now, you have a favorite. You have a favorite, heifer named Josephine. You have a favorite bull called Napoleon. But you have only pasturage enough for 10 cattle, but you have 20 cattle. And guess what? Of those 20 cattle, 18 of them are diseased. Well, 18 of them have Bang's disease. Yeah, let's just go ahead and say, essentially a disease, which essentially is like a disease, which is sort of like a sexual disease in cattle. To here in the United States, a cow that is diagnosed with brucellosis or Bang's disease essentially is branded with a B. It is a law at every sales ring that every animal that comes in to the cell ring has to be Bangs tested. And if it does have Bangs, it's not good for breeding anymore. You can, I guess, somehow cure Bangs disease, but it's never done because it's so difficult. It costs so much. And that's why an animal which has Bangs disease or brucellosis is branded with a B and slaughtered. And it's meat is not used for human consumption in most cases. So here you have, you have what? Grazing for 10 cows, but you have 20 cows on there, and among them 20 cows, 10 are Uyghur cows, including Josephine and Napoleon. And let me see, you have what? About maybe six beaner cows, about five beaner cows and four nigger cows and a Jew cow. Crazy Jew cow. That causes nothing but trouble. And it's disease too. What, Jim Giles, do you think you need to do? I mean, you have 18 diseased animals. You only have grazing for 10, but 18 of them diseased here, and they're about to go ahead and give your beloved Napoleon Josephine an infectious disease. What do you think you're going to have to do, Jim? Well, the answer to that is if you're running a herd, you go ahead and kill off the diseased animals. You go ahead and kill 18 wigger cows, 5 beaner cows, 4 nigger cows, and 1 Jew cow. And I would start with the Jew cow first. Diseased animals that need to die. Diseased animals that are not going to get any better. That's what you need to do with them. And sort of like in Macbeth here, since it's got to be done, it'd be best to be done quickly. So on this show, yeah, I advocate death, destruction, civil war. I believe that what? 90% of Uyghurs are sick animals. Are sick, diseased animals who have allowed themselves to be sick, you know, diseased. Who have gone ahead and willingly eaten shit and taken Jew pecker up the ass. Have collaborated with Jews. Why in the world argue with a diseased animal? Now, I believe, you know, the chaos is going to occur here. That's why, you know, I mean, with Harold Covington's plan here, Harold has a problem. He has a problem in that, you know, there's not 1,000 alphas. There's not 1,000 alphas. There's a bunch of Uyghurs here who may not be diseased. And how they're going to go ahead and cure their disease is by killing. By killing first their diseased animals, their diseased Uyghurs. And through this killing, but through this shedding of blood necessarily, they're going to save their own lives because it's kill or be killed. That's why, you know, that's why this sort of reality, since it's not overt, since it's not in your face, but it's an undertow, that's why zombie pictures like The Walking Dead or the rest are so popular. That's why they're so interesting. Because, guess what? You know, like old Rick said here, there is no cops, there's no government, there is no 911, there is no nothing here. It's just simply zombies who are well, dead, walking dead, and there are Uyghur and nigger animals which are still alive, which will kill your ass for no damn good reason. They're in their own psychosis, like the governor. And by the way, if Hunter Wells was listening here, I'd say is that you look a lot better as sort of like the governor. Maybe I'll go ahead and wear an eye patch, you know, as opposed to Grinny the Pooh. Anyway, folks, you know, Newscock hasn't done a show for 2 weeks. Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take another break, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes. Hail Victory.